in whatever loss you've had in your life, no matter what the loss is, if it's over, it's over. And you accept what cannot be changed. Now, acceptance doesn't mean you stop caring. And acceptance doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It does. And acceptance doesn't mean you even think that what happened is good. It's not. None of that's acceptance. Acceptance simply means I can't change it.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. In this series, Rick looks at how God can take every situation in life, including the absolute worst circumstances, and turn them around for your good and His glory. If you or someone you know needs some powerful biblical encouragement, then stay with us, because in a few minutes, we're going to tell you about the Journey to Hope Guided Experience Journal. It's full of encouraging Bible verses, exercises, and journaling pages to help you draw close to God and renew your sense of hope. Stay with us to find out more. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Surrender, the Path to Peace.
How do you let go of the pain in your life? How do you get on? How do you move through it? How do you get past the pain so you don't get stuck? Because so many people are stuck at some point of major loss. They had a divorce, and that's defined their life. Now, everybody's going to have bad things happen to them. Everybody does. And you have three choices when bad things happen to you. You can let it destroy you. You can let it define you. Or you can let it develop you. You can let it destroy you, you can let it define you, or you can let it develop you. And what can I want to share with you this weekend is how you let even the bad things in your life develop you and grow you by the act of surrender. And specifically, we're going to look at a passage where David, King David in the Bible, lost his son. He had a baby that died. Now, the Bible says, look there on your outline, Romans 15, verse 4, everything written in the scriptures was written to teach us in order that we might have hope. Circle that word hope. The Bible says that everything God gave us in the Bible was given for our encouragement and for our hope. And so these stories that are in the Bible, they're not just there for stories. This story of David losing a child is not just a story. It teaches us the principles of the path to peace through surrender. Now, I don't know what losses you've had, and I don't know what the losses that are going to come in your life or in my life either, but you're going to need to know how to respond to them. So let's look at David and this story of him losing a child and then what he learned to do as a result of it. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 16 to 24, it says this. David begged God to spare the child. Now, let me just say it. Bathsheba was pregnant. The baby was born. And then the baby gets very, very sick. And it is near death. And David is freaking out. And like any new dad, he is on the floor praying and crying and weeping. And it says, David begged God to spare the child. He went without food. In other words, he's fasting. And he lay all night on the bare ground. He's praying to God. Now the leaders of the nation, remember David is the king of Israel, the leaders of the nation pleaded with David to get up and to go eat something, eat with them, but he refused. Then on the seventh day, the baby died. So this had been going on for days and days. No food, no eating, just praying. On the seventh day, the baby died. Now, David's advisors were afraid to tell him. He was so broken up about the baby being sick, they said, what's he going to do, what's he going to do when to himself when we hear, when he tell him that the child is dead? So they're worried about him. But when David saw them whispering, he realized what had happened. Is the baby dead, he asked. And yes, they replied. Now, that's the setup of the story. And the rest of the story that Kay and I are going to share with you are the six things that David does after he has a major loss. He's been praying all of his life for this baby to be well, but the baby dies. I told you that I prayed every day of Matthew's life for 27 years that God would heal him of his mental illness. And it didn't happen. It was the number one prayer of my life, and it didn't happen. Now, what does David do after this? Is he going to let it destroy him? Is he going to let it define him? Or is he going to let it develop him?
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and you're listening to our series called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. There's more coming up, so stay with us.
If you or someone you know needs some powerful biblical encouragement, then let us send you the Journey to Hope Guided Experience Journal. This full-color, vegan leather-covered guided experience is perfect to put a boost in your quiet time. It's full of encouraging Bible verses, exercises, and journaling pages to help you draw close to God and renew your sense of hope. However hopeful you are or are not, this guided experience, which you can go through at your own pace, will bring you closer to God and renew your spirit. If you're ready to uncover the hidden reasons you may lose hope and also learn how you can maintain and bolster your hope, the Journey to Hope Guided Experience Journal is perfect for you or a loved one. Quantities are limited, so act now. It's yours today when you support this ministry with a financial gift. Get it right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick with two R's in the middle, .com. Today is the last day to get this great resource, so don't wait.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
The first thing I need to do if I want to get on the pathway to peace is this: accept what cannot be changed. You know, when people receive bad news, what's the first response to it? I don't believe it. Exactly. I don't believe it. We reject it. In fact, usually if you tell somebody some really bad, shocking news, here's what they'll start doing. They'll go like this. No, it can't be. I don't believe it. It couldn't be. It's impossible. It's not real, because our minds reject shocking news. And the first reaction is, no, it can't happen. It's not supposed to happen like this. That's the first typical reaction. But slowly, reality starts to set in, and you can't deny it anymore. And that's where surrender comes in. Surrender is accepting of reality. Here's what David did. Look there in your outline. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22 and 23. David said this: I fasted and I wept while the child was alive, for I thought perhaps the Lord would be gracious and let the child live. But why should I fast when he is dead? Can I bring him back again? The answer is no. What is David doing here? He's accepting what cannot be changed. Now, when you have an immediate loss, like when I had a son who a few hours earlier he was alive and then all of a sudden he was dead. And that was so shocking. It wasn't like a 6-month, you know, cancer where you get a chance to prepare for it. It seemed so surreal in those early hours, because all of a sudden he was not there anymore. And really, for the first couple weeks, I kept expecting him to walk in the door at night. Now, when I say accepting what can't be changed, in whatever loss you've had in your life, no matter what the loss is, the first thing you have to do is, if it's over, it's over. And you accept what cannot be changed. Now, acceptance doesn't mean you stop caring. No. And acceptance doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It does. And acceptance doesn't mean you even think that what happened is good. It's not. None of that's acceptance. Acceptance simply means I can't change it. David says, my son has died, and I can't change that. I want you to write this question on your outline. What do I need to accept that's over in my life? What do I need to accept is over in my life? Maybe it's that job. And you keep thinking, maybe they're going to call me back and give me another chance at it. I made a big mistake. I blew it. I really messed up. I really made a big mess of it. It's over. There ain't going to be another chance. Maybe it's some relationship that's over. And you just keep hoping they're coming back. And they're you keep hoping they're going to come back. You keep hoping they're going to call. They're not coming back. It's over. Maybe you need to say, what I need to accept is that that season of my life is over. You know, I one time went to a high school reunion. I will never go again. Because there were some people still reliving the high school catch they made in a football game. I'm going, get a life. That happened 20 years ago. And I mean, you're not in high school anymore. Have you looked in the mirror? That season of your life is never coming back. It's over. And you need to accept what cannot be changed. And the past in your life, for good or bad, the good things and the bad things, they are seasonal and they're not there. And the past is past. And some of you, you've had a dream and it didn't happen. And it's over. You need to get a new dream. You need to get a new vision. You need to get a new goal for your life. That's the first step. Accept what can't be changed. The second, and Kay is going to come and talk about this, is remember it's not the end of the story.
It's not the end of the story is the second step to finding peace through surrender. When we experience a devastating or catastrophic loss of some kind, it's really normal to feel like this is the end. This is over. Nothing good can ever come from it. Everything is lost. King David, as he experienced the loss of his son, he was able to focus on the hope that was ahead of him, believing that God wasn't finished. 2 Samuel 12, 23, he says about his son, I will go to him one day, but he cannot return to me. He understood and accepted that his son would never be with him again on this earth, but he was confident that he would be reunited with his child, that his son was not going to come to him, but he was going to go to his child, and that the baby's death was not the end of the story. I told you a few weeks ago when I spoke that I know that Matthew's death is not the end of his story. It's not the end of our family's story. But that doesn't mean that there aren't moments that I don't doubt, because I do. Matthew is in heaven, but I can't see heaven. I can stare out at the sky and I can stare as hard as I can and I can look and try to penetrate the veil of this existence to catch a glimpse of heaven, and I can't. I simply cannot do it. And what I'm learning to say is this, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And if you will be honest about your own walk with God, there have got to be those moments in which you would say that same thing, God, I believe, I do, I believe. But there are still these doubts, there are these things that I can't see, things that are mysterious, things that I don't know what to do with. And so we just end that prayer with, God, help my unbelief. There's nothing wrong with praying a prayer like that. See, God never is content to let a single one of our stories end in ashes. He promises that he will bring beauty from ashes. Where I struggle is sometimes believing not that he will bring beauty from ashes, but how. How will he bring beauty from these ashes? Because I am completely and utterly convinced that he will not let our story end with just ashes. The third step that we see from this story of how David handled the loss of his child is to take care of yourself. Now, that may sound like a strange one, but every single one of these steps is important part of the process of experiencing the peace of God. 2 Samuel 12, 20, it says, then David got up from the ground, washed himself, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. After his son died, King David, he got up from the ground where he had been lying prostrate in grief. He put on lotions, he washed himself, and he changed his clothes. Those sound like rather ordinary activities. You know, you take a bath, you change clothes. That's what we do every day, right? Except for grief and loss have a way of removing the desire to even take care of yourself. when you're in deep grief, when you're in suffering, when you're in mourning, who cares what you wear? It doesn't matter. Who cares whether you took a shower today or how many days it's been since you brushed your teeth? Who cares what's happening on the news? The newspaper is meaningless. The ticker tape of world events don't matter at all. In fact, eating can sometimes be completely immaterial. Nothing tastes right. Or because nothing tastes right, you eat more and more, just trying to make something feel again and take that ache away. Sleep can become a challenge. Either sleeping too much or not able to sleep night after night. And exercise sounds like the most ridiculous thing anybody could ever suggest to you. And this is all so understandable if you have been through this kind of grief. You know what I'm talking about. Because shock has a way of paralyzing us. Sorrow has a way of overwhelming us. But King David gives us a concrete example of how we can gradually begin to respond. Because he had accepted what he couldn't change, he couldn't bring his child back to him. And because he knew it wasn't the end of the story, and that each day here was just one day closer to being reunited with his son, he was willing to live in the tension of both mourning and living. He was willing to stay in that place of the tension of mourning and grieving, and still deciding that he was going to live. And to live meant that he was going to have to take care of himself physically. So he got up from the ground. I love that picture because it tells me that when he got the news, he hit the ground. He hit the ground when he got the news that his baby had died. I understand that. I too hit the ground when I got the news. So he got up from the ground and he resumed taking a shower and combing his hair. A month or so after Matthew passed away, we were together as a family for a weekend. And that entire weekend, I did not shower. I don't think I changed clothes. I know I didn't brush my teeth. I didn't put on any makeup. And then when I went back to saw my older son, Josh, about 3 days later, I walked in the room and he says, "Mom, you look really nice." And I said, "It's amazing what personal hygiene can do for you, isn't it?" Because I hadn't done it for a while. The point is this, that if we're going to go on living, if we're going to take care of ourselves, we have to make these symbolic, this what David did, it was symbolic of his decision to go on living, to re-enter into life, to participate in life again. It's a tough place to be, but you and I have to learn to live that we can simultaneously grieve and simultaneously live in this world at the same time. Which leads us to that next step of surrender, the step four, which is to refocus on God through worship, because God will help us do this, even as difficult as it seems. 2 Samuel 12:20 says, "Then he," talking about David, "went to the tabernacle, and he worshiped the Lord." Psalm 73:16-17 says, "I tried to understand all this, but it was too hard for me to see until I went to the temple of God." Because King David knew that worship can expand our spiritual insight and understanding, he headed straight for God's house in his grief. When he received that overwhelming news of the death of his child, this loss that had taken him to the ground, that laid him prostrate on the ground, he headed straight for God's house. It's because he knew that in worship, we begin to catch a glimpse of how God is moving and working in the losses, how he's working in our world and how he's working in our lives when we come in humble surrender and adoration of him. See, the temptation in our grief is to turn away from God. It's to run from him. It's to go as far in the other direction as we can because we figure in some way God is responsible. And so if he has allowed this to happen and we're mad and we're angry and we're shocked and we're heartbroken, we run. And all of those emotions are okay, but they're not long-term responses. Long-term, we have to figure out how to be in worship again. God will never abandon you in your anger. He will never abandon you in your grief. He will never abandon you in your tears. He will never abandon you in your doubts, ever. He will never. But those emotions have a way of clouding. They form a fog, if you will, a cloud that keeps us sometimes from receiving the spiritual insight and the comfort that God longs to give to us. And it's hard to recognize God's working when we're lashing out at him or when we're completely devastated by sorrow. So David went to God's house. He went to the tabernacle. But it's really not about the place, because as much as I love the worship center here at Lake Forest, it's not a cathedral, okay? You know, nobody comes here to admire the beautiful art in our worship center. I mean, it's a very functional place, and it's warm, and it's comfortable, and I love it. But, you know, let's be honest, it ain't no cathedral, okay? So we don't come here because it's beautiful. And if you are in one of our campuses, you use rented facilities. You don't even get to go there during the week. So it's certainly not about the place. What it is about this. The Bible talks about quietness and stillness. He talks about reconnecting all through the Word of God. So I'm advising you, what I've done for myself, what Rick and I have done, what our family has done, is to find places that are quiet, that are serene, that are tranquil, that would allow you to reconnect with God somewhere, I think, in the beauty of the world that God has created. Now, you can probably already tell from that I'm a pretty visual person, and I like to use different objects in worship because I really believe that using tangible objects like a mystery box or a hope box have a way of connecting us to the intangible. If you can envision it, maybe you're not all about the tangible things. Okay, fine, we're all different in the way that we connect with God. But for those of you who do, I'd urge you to try it. But just to consider this, be in a safe place. If it's God's house, if it's in nature, if it's with a group of people where you feel safe to yell, to scream, to cry, to weep, to moan, to argue, to question. But know this, wrapped in his love, clinging to his cross, wrapped in his love, you are safe. And it is the place that you maybe can take those first stabs again at worshiping. Because grief has a way of keeping us from worshiping. We're too overwhelmed. But it's in worship that we connect with God and find that he comforts us. As I said, I'm just past the stage of where I can breathe. And now as I worship, maybe you're listening to this today because God is gently inviting you again to surrender your loss to him. A great Christian from hundreds of years ago said this, God is not a spy looking to surprise you. He is not an enemy lurking in the shadows to hurt you. God is your Father who loves you. And he wants to help you if you will but trust in his goodness. Rick's going to tell the next point about surrendering. Okay.
Some of you may not know that Kay wrote a book on this, on the path to peace through surrender. It was called Dangerous Surrender, Saying Yes to God. And if you haven't read that book, I encourage you to read it. Now, there are two other steps on this path to peace that David did. He does these six things when he has this crisis in his life. You need to know these six things because you're going to have crises in your life. The fifth thing that David does is this. Do something productive. In your grief, in your shock, in your sorrow, in your sadness, in your struggle, part of surrender is to do something productive.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and you're listening to our series called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. Be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. That's PastorRick.com. If you or someone you know needs some powerful biblical encouragement, then let us tell you about the Journey to Hope Guided Experience Journal. This full-color, vegan leather-covered guided experience is perfect to put a boost in your quiet time. It's full of encouraging Bible verses, exercises, and journaling pages to help you draw close to God and renew your sense of hope. However hopeful you are or not, this guided experience, which you can go through at your own pace, will bring you closer to God and renew your spirit. If you're ready to uncover the hidden reasons you may lose hope and also learn how you can maintain and bolster your hope, the Journey to Hope Guided Experience Journal is perfect for you or a loved one. Quantities are limited, so act now. Today is the last day to get this great resource, so don't wait. Here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
You were made by God and you were made for God. And until you understand that, life is never going to make sense. But once you understand how much God loves you, your life will never be the same. God created you for a unique mission on this earth, and he wants you to complete it, and nobody else can complete it for you. So think about that today. Say, God, what do you want to do with my life?
Thanks for listening today, and join me again next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.